Wasatch Mountain Millennial Sports, we got a good one for you tonight. We got Zach and we got Munger on tonight. We'll be talking BYU football. We'll be talking about the first game of the season, our thoughts on that. We'll be talking about Kalani, Satake, is he on the hot seat or not? And we'll also be talking about Pac-12, seeing how the media day is next week. So buckle up, should be a good one.
And like banana bread.
Okay, I'm Jake. We got Zach and Munger. What's going on, guys?
Not much. We're sharing the same mic, so if one of us sounds distorted, that's why.
It's definitely going to be me.
Let's see how this goes.
Let's see.
Hey, way excited to have both you guys on. Huge BYU fans. Obviously, I'm not unless it's talking about ice cream and donuts. So I'm super stoked to get you guys' opinion on BYU. First off, we are 43 days away, just a little over 6 weeks away from the season. What are you guys' thoughts on the first game of the season being the rivalry?
It's too much anxiety, man. I need like a break game before or something to just ease me in rather than just going all the way.
Yeah, I still haven't gotten used to the game not being the last game of the season. That's how...
Really?
It's been like that for decades, man. And then suddenly we're playing each other now first game, but... Third game, fourth game of the year.
So, Zach, correct me if I'm wrong. So, 2010, played the last game of the season. And then last year, 2018, we played the last game of the season. In between, though, I mean, they played six, seven times in between.
Yeah. And
it never was at the end of the season.
Except except for the bowl game. And so,
Yes.
I mean, yeah, obviously, it's expected now to play the beginning of the season, but it just doesn't feel right still.
So, you would still prefer to be the last game of the season?
Yeah. The first game of the season's never... It's always, a little, there's the teams are rusty. You don't get the best performance out of either side.
Right.
So, I feel like the best games, obviously Utah's been on a hot streak, but you go back to, Harlene, 2006. 2008 wasn't much of a contest, but even 2010. It always comes down to the wire, and it feels like if it's the last game of the season, you feel like you're getting a little more out of the players. Right. Whereas if it's the third game, fourth game, you're not going to – everyone's still looking forward to who their next opponent's going to be.
I completely agree. I think the rest brings up a good point about that first game. It's not always the best performance, and you never want to be the best performance. Usually the biggest incline as far as development, seeing the team progress is that week one, week two. So having that first game, there is a lot of rust. However, one thing I do absolutely love about it being the first game of the season is – there's no injuries. I mean, there shouldn't be. Yeah, the guy go through fall camp or whatever.
Yeah, why'd you say that? Now they're going to have, five injuries.
Knock on wood, knock on anything. But that's one thing I do love about being the first game of the season is that, you don't have any big-time guys out. There's nobody really nicked up. But I do miss the whole conference having, there was always higher implications than it just being bragging rights, it seemed, by playing at the end of the season. So I agree with you there. But... Munger, what do you think? Do you like it at the beginning of the season, or would you rather have it?
No, I want it at the end. It gives me too much anxiety. I told you. You should ask my wife. She hates watching games with me because if I don't know. We almost woke our neighbors thought that there was like two teenage girls in the Wisconsin game last year because Zach and I watched it in the basement, and my father-in-law was upstairs, and he comes down and he's like, "What in the world were those two teenage girls doing here?" So, yeah, I don't know. I can't take the anxiety. At least last year I had prepared myself with Thanksgiving and everything. So it was a lot better, but I guess I'll survive. But again, you're going to get anxiety the first 4 weeks with BYU season. So there's not really much of a break this year.
Yeah,
it is what it is now. You just got to make the best of it, I guess.
If it is to be played in September, if it is supposed to be one of those first four games, do you guys have a preference there or –
No, I just want it at the end of the season.
Second game. But I've heard the same saying where the biggest improvement comes between week one and week two.
Yeah.
If it's got to be played in the beginning, play it week two, where both teams are apparently the best.
Right.
Or playing at their best.
Right. You knock off that rust there.
Unless you're talking Portland State, LSU, then that was a bad change from week one to week two.
Right. Well, I want to talk a little bit more about Kalani. He's got one more year for his contract, right? He's got this season and next season, right? He was hired for that 2016 season. He's entering his second last season, and there hasn't been that extension, which is not necessarily typical, but you see it kind of going in if there's foreseeable progress going on and that you think there's sustainability. Why haven't the BYU staff, the athletic department, why haven't they extended this extension yet or a contract for Kalani?
I'm not sold on BYU's athletic department to begin with.
So this is more of a Tom Pomo thing, not a
I mean, Tom's done a good job. And the thing with BYU and their athletics department in general is that BYU is hamstrung by these self-imposed rules that they have as to who they can hire and what people can do.
Right.
I think Tom's done a good job to this point. He hasn't done a great job. I mean, being a 25-year-old, Tom's the only athletic director I've ever known. But I think there's a little bit of room for change there. As for the contract, let's talk about the contract. That's what we're getting at. I think they're just waiting to see how Kalani does with this group he has now, kind of phasing out Broncos players, getting in Kalani's players. We'll see where he goes with that. I think he's fine. BYU doesn't really have anyone else they can hire at this point.
Right.
There hasn't been any young LDS talent.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that that's one of the things about BYU is that you kind of stick with coaches longer than is necessary. And you rarely will see them get fired. Even Gary Croton he resigned. He was forced to resign. But and that's the other aspect I agree with is a lot of people need to just – first of all, Kalani's a first-year head coach. I think he has the skill set to be a head coach. The second thing is he tried to implement a system with Broncos players who – I mean, Bronco didn't have one single offensive line recruit. Was it 2013, 2014? And so, I mean, just with the lack of an offensive and defensive line, Bronco focused more on the linebacker aspect. It's just completely different systems. And I think that Kalani wanted to bring his guys in, and now we're at that point where, okay, you have them. Let's see what you can do with it. Brought in Grimes after he was forced to bring in Ty Detmer and that whole thing, fiasco. And Grimes made a good progression for last year, was a big upgrade. And hopefully this year we see even more with a Zach Wilson rather than a very lame and very bad Tanner Mangum. So we'll see, but I'm excited.
What do you think would warrant? Because I mean, even if BYU had a bad year in the eyes of Tom Homo in the athletic department, Kalani still has next year to coach, maybe be coaching for his life. I mean, what would warrant for him not to get this extension sometime this season or shortly after when we enter into the offseason? What wouldn't warrant that he'd be coaching for his job next season?
You mean like if he'd be fired this year?
Not that he would be fired, but like he wouldn't see that extension, that he wouldn't see. He'd be coaching next year for his last season in that contract, has no extension. What would warrant that? What would have to happen this season?
Losing to Utah State, Boise State, and Utah would be a big thing. Obviously, fans want to see at least one of those wins. And he's even admitted that. I think that you have to see at least a big win. I think the Wisconsin win gained him a lot of momentum.
Right,
was a big thing. And then not losing to teams you're not supposed to lose to later in the year, which is a big thing as well. But I think if he improves with beating – if he can beat either Utah or Boise State, that would bring in a lot of goodwill. And if he can beat Utah State, that's a must-win this year. And then, obviously, I think if he wins one of the big three of the Washington, Tennessee, and USC games is another big thing. But, I mean, if he starts the season off 0-4, they're in bad momentum, they lose to Boise State and Utah State, then I think he'll be coaching for his job next year.
I've thought a lot about this because it's – I don't have much else to think about. I'm single, by the way, if there's any ladies listening. I think if BYU, they're, for the athletic department to determine if they're going to extend this guy or not, I think the factor is in total wins and not really who they're winning against. I think looking at the schedule here, I think if BYU can squeak out 7 or 8 wins, that extends Kalani. Obviously, a big season this year would earn him an extension, probably another 3 years.
Right.
But when it comes to BYU, like I said earlier, BYU is so hamstrung with who they can hire and who they can't hire. You just don't go firing people you know, just because they sneezed wrong. So it's gonna be a tough season though. Looking here at the schedule, you got Utah, you got USC, Toledo, Boise State, Tennessee, Washington, South Florida. I mean, BYU going 6-6 is very reasonable. BYU going 8-4 is going to be, I think, an improvement. If those 8 wins come against, you know, Utah, Boise State, South Florida, Toledo.
I have a question for you. So what games do you think are the must wins this year?
In terms, so BYU, we like, as BYU fans, we like to think BYU is still a national brand, yeah. And they can be. You know, beating Wisconsin was nice. I remember, you know, I grew up watching John Beck and Max Hall and being in the top 25 week in and week out.
10 win seasons.
I was spoiled rotten. You know, it was BYU fans. I was telling Munger on our drive here, BYU fans have the expectation of a P5 school, but you know, maybe we don't have the resources, or maybe we're not playing at that level yet. And so there's a disconnect between expectations and reality, but that disconnect can be filled, you know, if BYU starts performing the way BYU fans are expecting it and wanting it.
Yeah, and I was just arguing when we were in the car, the biggest thing for BYU fans, and I disagreed, I don't think the expectations are that we need to be a P5 team right now. I think, honestly, the expectation is we want to win a rivalry game more than once a decade. We want to beat Utah State on a consistent basis and beat Boise State when they're down, and obviously win that one big game per year. And then I think that whether you're an independent or not, I think that would make most fans happy. The problem is last 2 years, you've lost to Utah, you've lost to Boise State, you've lost to Utah State, you've lost those big games. And I think that the year before, even them not being competitive, that 4-9 season was a lot, turned off a lot of people. That's the big thing for me, is I just want to see them competitive in those big games. And I understand that you're going to have those struggling season, but yeah, 10 win season should be pretty manageable with the schedule. I mean, a 9 or 10 win season is not expecting too much, in my opinion, with who we're playing.
So let me ask you this. I think I keep going back and forth about 8 wins is about where I'm settling on BYU as far as realistic. I think, like you're saying, Munger, that 9 win, that 10 win isn't out of question, but that means a really, really good performance for BYU this season. Going back to Kalani, coaching for that extension, let's say he gets those 8 wins. But let's say he splits the September month where he beats Tennessee, beats SC, right? Mm-hmm. And then the rest of the season, the other 8 games, he splits Boise and Utah State, wins one of those. So you beat one of those 3 that you guys mentioned, and then might have had a hiccup with another team. So you get 8 wins, right? You beat one of those 3 teams. You went 2-2 in September. Would that be enough for BYU to extend Kalani?
I think that, honestly, with where we're at, I think Utah State, as I stated, is a must win for him to see that extension. Even if, I mean, obviously it depends on how good Utah State is this year with them bringing back, pretty much the only one on their offense that they've brought back is going to be their quarterback. Love's really the only one that they have back.
Don't they have a new coach?
Yeah, they, Gary, you know.
Oh, it's Gary, yeah. My boy. And maybe, hey, shout out to Gary Anderson. If y'all beat BYU this year, will you get another tattoo? And if you do, can I pay for it? I want to see another tattoo on Gary Anderson. Maybe this one would say, what was his other tattoo?
Isn't it something? I don't know. But last question I would just want to ask about the schedule.
Yeah.
Regards, is Boise State and Utah State, are they in the same vein? I mean, do you guys weigh one over the other? If BYU does split those games, beats Boise but loses to Utah State,
I'd rather it. Well, I guess it depends on how they are.
It's so hard, yeah. Because Boise does have the national reputation. Beating Utah State is that in-state rival.
Yeah, beating Boise State is like asking out a really cute girl and she says yes. You don't expect it to happen every time. But when it does, you're pretty pleased with yourself.
Yeah, and you asking out that cute girl and saying yes, people notice.
Exactly.
Are people going to notice that Utah State asking, as much as they were the Boise?
Exactly. Asking out Utah State is like when your mom says, hey, there's that girl that moved down the street. No one's really paying attention to her, but you know, you should probably ask her out. And if you lose that game, that's like her publicly denouncing you on Facebook and saying, you know, Zach tried asking me out and he's not really my type. That's embarrassing. Losing to Utah State, I don't care how good Utah State is. I don't care if they go 10-2. As a BYU fan, losing to Utah State is embarrassing.
Yeah, definitely the losing to Utah State is a lot worse than beating – I mean, then losing to Boise State, and beating Boise State is going to be a lot better than beating Utah State. So, yeah, and again, it depends on the kind of season that they're having, who beats who, how each team is. But I guess going back to the schedule, obviously Utah, you expect a loss, but you hope for a win kind of a scenario.
Man, how far have we fallen?
That's what we're close. That's the thing. 17 in the last 20 games, am I wrong? Have been all the
yeah, one possession, yeah. And then I agree, splitting the first four games is a big one. If there's a slip-up, I could see it being at Toledo or South Florida. We haven't won a game in the state of Florida ever, so.
South Florida's a good team, too. Good program. Last year they were playing – they took UCF down to the –
They got the old Texas coach, right?
Yeah, Charlie Strong's there. Charlie Strong.
But they took UCF down to the wire. I don't see a win in South Florida. That would be a pleasant surprise.
Right.
And then obviously beating Utah State's a must for me. Boise State is I'd be okay with a win or loss. Wouldn't be a destructive, and then winning out would be big as well.
You guys kind of touched on this, and just really quickly bringing back a little bit to it. You guys mentioned about Kalani playing with Broncos recruits, but he's been here now. We're starting to see him actually have his own recruits. They're starters at BYU. There are more of them. I mean, how big of a variable is that this year going into it with Kalani actually having his guys that he recruited?
No, that's a great – I think the bigger thing along with that is that Kalani finally figured out how to create a culture. I think that was a big mistake that he had in 2016, and I think that was a big reason why 2017 was such a bomb. And I think that's why he had a little bit more success in 2018. And so mixing that in with the personnel, I think, is going to be a big thing for him as well. And I think you're going to see a lot of improvement. Obviously, the line is a big thing. Games are won and lost in the trenches. And BYU's glory days of the 06-09 years, they had an amazing offensive line. And after that was the one struggle I think Bronco had is he didn't know how to recruit an offensive line. The offense kept changing, and I think he really struggled with that, and especially defensive line as well. And I think those are two aspects of what Kalani wanted to bring in with the 4-3 run with the power game. And so, yeah, I think that's going to be the difference maker with what Kalani's looking to do. And obviously, you need playmakers at receivers to step up, but. Just seeing the kind of personnel that he's looking for specifically, and this is probably the best set of defensive backs we've had in a long time. It's probably since 96. And so I'm excited to see how that is. But yeah, I think and I know the recruiting rankings don't show it, but if you look at the individual personnel who are starting this year, and just look in the offers they had and where they were at compared to where we were in 2016 when Kalani came in. The offensive line's a huge bump up. The defensive backs are a huge bump up. The only downfall is obviously, and I think quarterback, I think Zach Wilson has it. It's just running back wise, are you going to find that running back this year or are you going to find that receiver to step up? I think the skills positions, it's kind of like Utah. You have that strong running back, but then receiver, you're like, who's going to stand up? Who's going to be the next Kalen Clay kind of a player? And so, yeah, I think that's going to be a big difference.
So going into a little bit about the Pac-12, we're transitioning in here. And I know you guys aren't just BYU fans. You guys are college football fans. You guys live in the great state of Utah. You guys are playing three Pac-12 teams, so you guys are familiar. You guys have been playing Pac-12 teams for many, many years. What are you guys' thoughts on the Pac-12 this year? I mean, they've been left out a handful of times now ever since the college football playoffs started. What's your guys' vibe on who can stand out in the Pac-12? And will it even be enough? Will the Pac-12 even have a rep as a representative for the college football playoff?
Yeah, problem with the Pac-12 is that's what happens when you have a 9-game conference season and then you have a really deep conference where they're pretty much – and you don't have one team standing out more than any other, but they're all really solid teams that are really good. Obviously, they were ranked. I know a lot of people have them ranked ahead of it's the ACC that they're ranked ahead of. And I there's another conference that they're ranked ahead of as well. But the problem is though, with those conferences is that they're top heavy. I mean, you have Clemson carrying one conference. Texas and Oklahoma are picking up steam. And so, I mean, if there was a team that was going to step up this year, I'm interested to see how Washington's offense is with the losses on the offense. Oregon's obviously going to be looks to be that favorite, but I don't know, honestly, just with what I've seen. But if I had to choose between standing out, and I mean, Utah could even be that team this year, which is a big thing as well. So I don't know. You never know what the Pac-12 teams, right. One year they're good and the other year they're not. So
there's a lot of carnage, like you said, with the nine games and then conference games.
Yeah.
But Zach, what do you think? Do you think Oregon and Washington, I mean, those are the two favorite teams. Do you think there's a third team up in the North that can mix with those two? Or is it kind of a two-horse race with the North?
That's a good question. I don't see another team in the North that has a chance at sniffing the Pac-12 title game. Washington State has, you know, I love the air raid offense. I think Coach Leach is doing a good job up there. They have some question marks on defense. And aren't they getting
always
the new,
have question marks
on defense. And that's just how it is. Yeah. I mean, you just got to overpower them with the offense. Didn't they just get a new quarterback? Washington State get a new quarterback?
Five of the top six wide receivers return. So a lot of the playmakers come back. But you're right. Garner Minshew, that graduate transfer.
God, he was so good.
They were the surprise team last year.
Yeah, I was rooting heavily for him. I thought they were a fun team to watch.
I mean, Leach, he's a pirate. I mean, he's been able to just do whatever he wants, plugs in anybody to play quarterback. I think he asked me to play quarterback, and I could throw, you know, 5,000 yards a season if he asked me to play, and I can barely even throw 20 yards. Like, that's just what he does. He plugs in anybody to play quarterback, and they usually deliver. So I agree Washington State could probably be in the mix. I don't think they will be. I think it is a two-horse race. And we actually did a poll question today, and it was a little bit surprising because I thought Washington would kind of run away with it. But, I mean, what are you guys' thoughts on who would you pick? 43 days before college football season, you know, who would you take, Washington or Oregon?
I think it's a coin flip. I think it's you flip a coin and heads it's Washington, tails it's Oregon. And I think it'll come down to it won't come down to their head-to-head matchup.
It won't?
That will not be the deciding factor.
That's in Husky Stadium.
It'll be in Husky Stadium, but I think once you get to the end of it, both teams are going to have one or two in-conference mistakes.
Okay.
And that will be the determining factor. I think you could take Team A. I won't even name one. I'll say Team A could beat Team B. But Team A could have, you know, that extra loss to their rival or to someone in the other division. And that would be, you know, the nail in their coffin to not only not make the Pac-12 title game, but I mean, it would obviously kick him out of the playoff question.
Okay,
Munger. It happens every year.
Who would you take? Who would you take, Washington or Oregon?
So I have a question because I'm looking this up, and who's going to be Washington's quarterback to step up for Browning?
So it's the transfer from Georgia.
That's right.
Let me just remember his name.
I'm trying to remember his name.
Oh, the kid that couldn't hack it, and
he couldn't beat Fromm.
He couldn't beat Fromm. Who's going to beat Jake Fromm in that program?
Jacob Eason.
That's right, the
five-star quarterback transfer.
Yeah, so I think that's going to be kind of a key factor there because that's why I'd go with Washington just because of that. I know everyone's high on Oregon's quarterback, but I just think the consistency of Washington with what Chris Peterson's been doing, and as you stated, I actually think the game will come down to that game in Husky Stadium, and I think that it's really hard to win there, as you know, Jake.
It is.
So, hey, BYU won there 2008.
Yeah, no,
that was
so long ago.
That 0-12 year that they had.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and that's right. What's his name?
Jake Locker
threw the ball. Threw
the ball 30 feet. Yeah, 30 feet in the air.
And then
we
blocked the field goal.
The PAT was from the 18-yard line. So
that was a wild
year. I'm going with the Huskies, and this is why. I think Oregon does have less question marks, and it's always huge. I mean, the greatest sport on earth and the most important position in all of sports is the quarterback. And yes, they returned Justin Herbert at Oregon. That is huge. So, yeah, I think they have a lot less question marks. Washington has to replace 9 guys on that defense. But I think with Jacob Eason, Salvin Ahmed was a very serviceable backup running back for Washington. And I'm not betting against Chris Peterson. But, yeah, we have 55-45 in favor of Washington. People vote in Washington over Oregon in the North. But just a quick rundown. I mean, what do you guys expect? So you guys got about Washington, Oregon, maybe Wazoo third place. Do you guys have anyone else? Maybe Cal. Cal's got a really good defense coming back, but they have question marks on offense. I mean, but what do you guys think about the North?
So, yeah, I think you get Washington State third. After that, I really don't. I guess they're all
Stanford, Cal.
Yeah,
OSU is what I got.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That's about right. I was just thinking about how Stanford would be, but no, I agree with that one. And then, it'd be fun to see another Utah Washington Pac-12 title rematch.
So you think Utah is the favorite in the South?
I think until there's a more proven team down there. And I'm trying to think if there would be anyone else that would.
That's a huge question mark. Who's going to be that?
Yeah.
Utah, they got their hands full every year. They've never ran. They have run the South before, but they never have won
division
by running the South.
And the USC is going to be a big question mark too this year. I mean, you never know with USC. They have the great recruits. It's just they're so dysfunctional right now. So seeing how that is. And then obviously – UCLA, don't see them coming up a second year with Chip Kelly. Obviously, Chip Kelly's trying to get the right players in. Arizona State, I mean, Utah's kryptonite, kind of. So,
yeah, that's true. It's pretty funny to watch sometimes.
But yeah, they're like your New Mexico of this that conference. I swear.
Right. So how would you rank them 1 through 6 in the South?
So I go Utah 1, USC 2. Arizona State 3, and then again, I don't know after that. It'd kind of be a toss up between those last three.
Okay. Zach?
We're talking about the South, right? I'm looking up, so I'm just doing – I'm going – I'm looking up Vegas odds for total wins in the Pac-12.
Let me give you my top six in this – well, not top six, the six in the South. I have Utah 1, I have SC 2, and I feel like 2 through 4 is actually more of a toss up than 1 through 3 for me. I put SC, ASU, U of A in that order. The reason why I'm kind of more high on U of A is because I think they're actually going to utilize the quarterback down there who had Heisman implications, and then they didn't use him. He's a running quarterback, and what did he do? He didn't run.
Yeah, they made him throw, especially against BYU.
Yes.
It was wonderful.
Thank you, Arizona, for making your quarterback throw when obviously running would have beat BYU.
So I think that's what you see. And then – I think UCLA is going to be bad again.
Yeah, their personnel.
One more year.
I think Chip Kelly doesn't have the personnel he needs just yet. Kind of the same thing. So, and that is just that kind of system where that it was easy when he went into Oregon and he was actually already there helping implement the system, and so it was an easy transition, which is why you saw him be successful. But I think he's a great coach, and I'm excited to see what they can do. But it's UCLA, so we'll see.
Can I say something about Chip Kelly?
Yes.
This is a personal beef I have with Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly, if you ever hear this, I hate you for ruining the Eagles. But at the same time, you kind of laid the foundation for what we have now. Super Bowl champs, babe.
Yeah, man, and thank you for helping the Niners finally get rid of Trent Baalke. So you made both our teams worse, but then you ended up making them better. So it all worked out.
Chip Kelly so much.
I didn't mind him, but.
Last question I want to ask. So next week's Pac-12 Media Day, we're going to see what people have on the ballot, who people are picking to win it. Where would you guys be more surprised if Utah was unanimous South champs, picked to win the South 100%, or would you be more surprised if they got more than a third of the first place votes to win the entire conference? What would surprise you more?
I think more than the third of the first place votes in the conference. I think Utah is a lock to win the South, or at least in terms of predictions, I think Utah is a lock to win the South. It's not only justifiable, but it's also a very easy prediction to make.
Okay.
I think, you know, a lot of the people are still high on Washington, Oregon. And so you'll see most of the votes go that way in terms of who's going to win the conference. But I would be more surprised if they didn't have Utah unanimous winner of the South.
Yeah, I was actually about to say that both happening would not be surprising, but,
I think you're going to see mostly Washington, Oregon. I think you're going to see about 10 to 20% Utah.
Yeah.
I think that's what you think. But so that's what I'm asking.
Well, I also think you're going to get the LA USC crowd that comes out every year thinking that they're going to be all that. Like they do.
Clay Helton's the most – he's got the biggest – I mean, the hottest of the hot seats.
Yeah, definitely. But you're still going to see that LA media come out. But no, I still think that Utah's going to get – I agree. Utah's going to get unanimous. And
2 minute drill, guys. CP3 destination. Who the freak is going to take his contract? Where is he going to land? Munker.
Miami. You know him. You love him. I hate him. The New York Knicks.
I would love if he ended up with the Knicks.
The Knicks are so poorly ran.
Well, that's poetic justice. What a better person. There's no better person for the Knicks to acquire.
Couldn't happen to a better franchise.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Rook of the year. Rookies reported to camp today. Rookie of the year. Who's it going to be?
Nick Bosa, duh.
It'll probably be Nick Bosa, but I would love for anyone not named Nick Bosa to win it.
I think it's Kyler Murray. I don't even think the Cardinals necessarily have to win 10 games for him to be the Rookie of the Year, but I think he wins seven games. I don't think is out of reach for the Cardinals.
Small hand Murray.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, I mean, Barkley won it, and what did Barkley do? Couldn't even beat the Eagles.
He carried that whole team, basically. It was the offense.
If you guys liked it, please listen more. Follow us on Twitter, Munger. What's your Twitter handle?
At WMM Sports. We'll give you a shout out for the 200th follower, so follow.
Yep. Also like the Facebook page. Really appreciated having Munger and Zach on. If you guys have any questions or anything you want to talk about, please hit us up, Facebook, on the website, or on our Twitter.
And shout out to Sean Johnson. He carried that flag out like a champ. If he doesn't own that flag, man, no one else should.
You're the best, Sean. That's why we won. Keep going, dude.
Mountain Millennial Sports signing out.